You guys are just full of surprises, aren't you? That little Hawaiian island there.
You were surprised.
Yeah, that was nice. I like that. Did you hear my rap earlier? See?
Yeah, we did.
Just letting you know, okay.
Very good.
Yeah,
impressive.
See? Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I can't. That's the joke. I can't. I can't rap. I can't sing. I can't even stand there and clap. All right? No, I'm not. I am not a musician. But do you all remember when I in the children's sermon when I have the kids line up this way and they face the altar, and then they have to listen for their voice. You know, is that your dad? Is that your mom? Is that your auntie? You know, and they have to listen. All right, they have to, because even at a young age, they have that voice recognition. They can distinguish their parents' voice. And for us, sometimes I think we have a harder time as adults. We have a harder time trying to distinguish all the voices going on in our heads. Don't you have voices going on in your head? I mean, not in a crazy way, but I mean, it just. Okay. I walked into that. I'm sorry. All right. But to try to figure out what is being said and who is calling us and what is it we're supposed to do, and the reading from Samuel is all about that. If you don't know the history, the history at this time in Israel, okay, they're in a time of transition. Things are changing, but right now it's really ugly. It's really, really bad if you're familiar with the history of what's going on right now. There's a loose confederacy of tribe, but there's corruption everywhere. Everywhere. There's corruption. Everybody's just doing whatever the heck they want. No one's being held accountable. It's absolutely chaos. Even the religious groups, the temple's corrupt. Eli's sons are disasters. It's terrible. It's chaos. And they have threats from the outside. The Philistines are coming in, taking their lunch money whenever they want. I mean, it's just a very terrible time. And if you read through the whole book of Samuel and get into 2 Samuel, we discover that it goes from all this chaos and confusion to where they become a nation under God. But it doesn't happen instantaneous. It takes a while. And sometimes, you know, we were talking about that in Bible study, there's kind of a parallel with America when we think of the time of the colonies and the corruption and the oppression, the fight for independence and freedom to where we could hopefully become a nation under God and certainly continue to be in that time of transition for ourselves. But this is during the time of Israel, and it's just beginning. It's just beginning. We're only in chapter 3, and we've got all of 1 Samuel to go through, all of 2. But if you're familiar with this, then you know that it actually, all of this begins with a mother's prayer. A mother's prayer. Chapter 1. Hannah wants a baby so badly. And she goes to the temple. They went to the temple 3 times a year. They have a special festival. They go to the temple, and she prays. And she's praying so earnestly, and her heart is just pouring out before the Lord. And the priest just is an idiot, okay? Have you ever noticed how ministers are pretty much idiots? We are. It's just, you know, we couldn't be the things that you are, so this was the only thing left. And God has to take you, so you just go. And the priest thinks she's drunk, and she's not. She's pouring her heart out before God in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, the answer to the prayer, and her heart is now overwhelmed with joy, and she creates this song that is so powerful, so moving, so meaningful, that Mary actually uses parts of that song when Jesus is born. A powerful, powerful song she sings. And now, her boy, Samuel, serving in the church. He's probably 11, 12 years old, and he's serving in the church under Eli, who's the head priest. And Eli is old. Like old, old. Think as old as you can imagine. 3,000 years older than that. He's old. All right? And he's fat. All right? He's hugely fat. All right? So he's old. He's fat. He's blind. He can't see what the heck is going on anywhere. He can't even see that his sons have made a disaster of the temple. His sons are stealing from God, stealing from the people. He can't see nothing. He can't see anything. And he's just not doing his job. And God calls Samuel. Samuel. But see, the Bible will tell you, and that day, at that time in Israel's history, it was a rare thing for God to call to people. It was a rare thing for visions to happen to people. That was a rare thing. And so Samuel didn't know it was God. He didn't recognize God's voice. He had never heard God's voice before. Had no familiar. Didn't even know God talked to people. He didn't know it was God. He thought it was Eli. Goes to Eli. Eli says, "Get away from me." You know how old fat people are when you wake them up? My wife will tell you what it's like. Don't wake me up. Sleep is precious. And once, twice, three times. And after the third time, Eli perceives that God is calling. God is calling Samuel. So even though his sons are corrupt, even though he's old, even though he's fat, even though he's blind, even though he's made a disaster of things, he is still able to give guidance to Samuel. Isn't that wonderfully hopeful? That sometimes, even if we've made a disaster of something, God can still use us. God uses Eli and shares some wisdom and shares some guidance and says, "That's not me talking to you, boy. That's the Lord. And what you need to say is, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" Eli tells Samuel what to say. So that when it happens again and Samuel's able to make that, that's the only proper response when God is speaking, is to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." You ever notice how we get that backwards in our prayer time? You ever notice that? Instead of listening to what God is telling us to do, we want to tell God what to do. Have you ever noticed that? We want to serve God as advisors. All right? "All right, God, I understand you're messing things up here. I thought I'd just give you some wisdom. All right, this is the way it should go. All right, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is why you should do it. This is why you should give it to me. All right, and I'll be forgiving to you, God. All right, but let's straighten it up. All right, let's get it right." No, God's not looking for advisors. God's looking for faithful servants, obedient to his call. We forget that sometimes. That it's God's mission. It's not our mission. It's not about us. You look back in the Bible. You think about the call to Abraham, "And I will bless you." But he doesn't stop there. "I will bless you. I will bless all nations." That's what God says. It starts, "But I bless all the nations. I'm going to bless all the races. I'm going to bless all the ethnic groups." You guys know all means all. That's the blessing God has. It's God's mission. Did you know that the very first time the word "bless" is used in the Bible, it isn't even about people. It's about fish. Chapter 1, Genesis. Chapter 1, Genesis, verse 21. And God blesses them. God blesses them. They're just fish. They're just ocean life form. It doesn't have to just be fish, but stuff living in the ocean. That's what it is. He doesn't get around to people till verse 28. Then he says, "You are a blessing meant to bless the earth." That's the call. The mission is God's mission. And the assignment is to be a blessing, to bless other people. It seems so simple. It seems so straightforward. And we get it so complicated. Just we think, oh, we have to do this special activity. Oh, we have to go to a mountaintop. We have to sit at a campfire and sing Kumbaya and just have our hearts all attuned and sit in the lotus position listening for the voice of God. Samuel was asleep. God's got no problem waking you up. God's not got no problem waking you up, shaking you up, and calling you up to do things. You don't have to be in a special place. You don't have to have... No, God will come to you. All you have to do is be willing to listen. Listen to God's voice. Listen to what God is calling you to do. How is God calling you to be a blessing? To bless other people. What is God calling you to do right now? Where you are, with what you have, in this crummy job that you hate, that you can't stand, in this retirement that is driving you batty, or driving your spouse batty, or driving the neighbors batty, or whatever it is, wherever you're at, God is calling us. God is calling us right now. And so many times we just turn a deaf ear. God was calling Linda Wilson Allen. Linda Wilson Allen drives a Metro Transit bus in San Francisco, the number 45 bus. Maybe Mitch has ridden it. Linda loves the people on her route. She loves them. She loves them. You talk to Elsie. Elsie, now she's older now, but was 80 years old the very first time she got to meet Linda. Elsie's 80 years old, struggling with her groceries, trying to get to the bus stop. Linda sees her, stops the bus, gets out of the bus, out of the magic bus driving chair. No, you know, the wheels on the bus go, no. You don't even have a bus driver in the bus because she's out there helping Elsie with the groceries. Helps her up the stairs, gets the groceries in the seat next door, gets her all situated. Linda knows everybody on her route, all the regulars. She'll stop and wait if she knows they're running a little bit late. She'll make up her time later. She'll do something else. She saw Tanya. It was around Thanksgiving. Tanya's outside of a shelter. Tanya's looking a little bit down, looking a little lost, looking like she's a little forsaken. Linda rolls down or puts down the window and leans her head out and shouts, "Hey, it's almost Thanksgiving. You're looking a little bit low. Why don't you come to my place with me and the kids and kick it around for Thanksgiving?" They didn't know each other. Now they're best friends. This is Linda. This is Linda driving the number 45 Metro bus. I mean, really, a bus driver? You think about it, it's unglamorous. Nobody wants to grow. I want to be a bus driver. Nobody ever says that. It's a thankless job. Your engines are breaking down. People put gum on the seat. They spill things on the floor. Customers can be cranky. Traffic is always going on. And yet, Linda, there are people who will wait at the bus stop and not get on a bus because they're waiting for Linda's bus. At the end of every day, she goes, "That's all for today, folks. Thank you all for riding. Be careful. I love you." A bus driver who is the servant of God, blessing people where she is with the crummy, thankless, no-pay job that she has. There's Johnny the Bagger. Johnny the Bagger works for a humongous grocery chain. The grocery chain sponsors this training event. Barbara Glantz is the speaker. 3,000 frontline workers, truck drivers, you know, the baggers, the stockers, the cashiers, all of them there to hear. And Barbara Glantz is talking to them about the difference you can make. Every day you meet, every time you have an interaction with someone, you're creating a memory. You have an opportunity. And Johnny hears this. And he's inspired by this. But Johnny's 19 years old and he has Down syndrome. And he's thinking, what difference can I possibly do? How can I possibly... And he decides, I know what I'm going to do. And what he's decided is at the end of the day, he comes home, and with his dad's help, he writes a positive thought of the day. Writes it out on the computer 6 times per page, makes 50 copies, 300 copies. And if he can't find a good thought for the day that's positive, he creates his own. Then he gets a pair of scissors, not even a paper cut, a pair of scissors to cut them out. 300 slips of paper that he signs himself. At his line, where he bags the groceries, he makes it a point. When he bags the last grocery, he takes one of those handouts, puts it on top of the bag, stops what he's doing, makes eye contact with the customer and says, "I've put a very positive thought in your bag today. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for coming." To every customer. Every customer he does that for. The grocery store was going crazy. People in the line at Johnny's checkout lane, 3 times farther than anybody, the manager would get on the microphone. "Hello, there's no waiting in 257. No waiting." They're backed out to frozen foods, for goodness sake. And you know what they say? "No, no, no, we're good. We want to be in Johnny's line." When have you ever gone to a grocery and wanted to be in the longest line? A customer come up to him and said, "You know, I used to come by just once a week. Now every chance I get, I want to see what Johnny's thought is for today." It's amazing the difference we can make if we allow God to use us, if we're willing to let God just answer God's call to be faithful, not where you are, what you have, listening to God. And sometimes, you know, people will say, "Oh, I'm too old. I'm retired." Really? Do you know how old Moses was when he saw the burning bush? 80. He was 80 years old, and that was just the beginning. If you know the story, you know it just goes downhill from there. He should have been singing Kumbaya at that bush. It was only, you know, brought out some marshmallows and just camped there. Because Caleb was 85. There's Florence. Florence isn't in the Bible. Florence, though, was a faithful servant. Florence was retired. Kind of got to that point, you know. I mean, you can only sleep in so much. You know, you can only go out to breakfast so much, you know. And so Florence, bless her heart, Florence decides she's going to learn about the computer. All right? So if you're going to learn about the computer, and she hears about Facebook. And so she said, "I'm going to learn about Facebook. I'm going to learn about computers. And now I'm going to learn about Facebook. And I'm going to pray for my church and pray for people. That's what I'm going to do." Did I mention that when Florence decided to start this, she was 101 years old? 101, deciding to learn about computers and Facebook to pray. She got to meet Mark Zuckerberg. It was a big deal all over the people going crazy. 101. Howard was sharing about the experiment. What if it's dead, bury it? If you're not dead, you're not done. All right. If you're not dead, you're not done. God continues to call each and every one of us. Now, I do not know how God is calling you. I do not know what God is calling you to do. But what I do know, I will share with you right now. The proper response is, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." Listen for the voice of God. Listen to God. And then say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." Amen.